Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on This Needs to Be Said. We're going to be talking with personal injury attorney Eric Blank, and he's going to talk with us about five things to do when you're in an accident. You know what? Every time I've ever been in an accident, I didn't know what to do. I panicked, and even though I had insurance to cover, you know, the car or whatever, I just didn't know the first thing to do. So today is going to help me and you, the audience, to clear up just some things to do. And he's going to share with you how to get a copy. He's made a pamphlet that you can download. And so you can have this with you and stick it in your glove compartment with everything else. That's where I stuff anyway. Eric, I want to say thank you for your time and welcome to This Needs to Be Said. How are you today?
Great, Catherine. Thanks for having me on. And I look forward to talking with you and your listeners here and giving them some information what to do when they're in a car accident.
Awesome. About a year ago, I think it was a year ago, I got into an accident myself, and I promise you, I was so terrified, and this guy gave me such a difficult time, and it really was a simple, I tapped him, I was wrong, just need to pay him, and he wanted to draw it out, and I'm telling you, I got confused. What am I supposed to do first? You know, do I call the insurance company first? Do I call the police department first? Do I call my spouse first? Who do I call first, right? So I was just completely floored. I didn't know what to do, so I panicked. I ended up calling the police so they can come and the insurance company, but I didn't know the proper thing to do or if there's a kit until having this opportunity to interview with you. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and I want you to get us started. I got my pen and paper in hand ready to take notes.
Absolutely. So as you've mentioned, you actually addressed a lot of the points that happen in an accident. You know, you may be injured, you're disoriented, you may not, you know, depending what happened to your body in the accident, you may have hit your head, or even if it's a minor situation like yours, two cars collide, you have a very aggressive other driver or potentially intimidating, whether it's a bigger person or here in Nevada, Las Vegas, where I'm located, we have a large Spanish-speaking population. A lot of times there's a language barrier as well. So I just want to go over a few things that you definitely want to do in an accident. And one of the big things to talk about, the first thing we have in our point is that you should definitely stop at an accident. What I mean is some people think if they take off, then they might be okay, especially if they're at fault. Now, I guess you might get away with that. The problem is if you don't, you know, people catch license plates, they turn that information over. To the police, you get caught in some kind of hit and run. Suddenly, you've gone from a minor, you know, fender bender, where you may get a ticket, to something where you've now potentially committed a much greater crime, and you are facing, you know, much stiffer penalties and something that would affect your future record. So that's an important point to consider. Always stop. Now, one of the things that has happened, you know, even more in the last 10 years in a positive way, is that everybody practically has a cell phone. And I'm not talking about talking and driving and texting when driving. No, that's obviously a no-no. But the important thing of a cell phone is document everything. Document everything. And that's one of our future points, but when you have your cell phone, document everything. You have the ability to take video on your phone. You take pictures. You want to take picture of the other person's license, of their license plate, of their insurance, of their registration, any damage to your vehicle, any pictures of the area surrounding you. Literally, you can't have too many pictures.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that's crucial. I tell it all the time. You even have a chance to take video because I will tell you, and I do. I represent plaintiffs. I represent people who are the victims in the accident. I can tell you, a client, it happens all the time where I have a client that comes in and said, oh, there's no problem. You know, we had this accident. The other driver admitted that he was at fault or she was at fault. And, you know, we didn't call the police because it was really clear. And then sure enough, we open up a claim. We contact the at-fault party's insurance company. And that insurance company says, well, our client tells us that, you know, your driver did this, this, and this, so we're going to deny your claim. Happens very frequently, unfortunately. And, you
That's
know, people
huge...
have a, Sorry, go ahead.
That's a huge change from years ago when we didn't have our phones and we weren't able to take pictures, you know, so readily. So I think that this is something to think about because it can prevent, again, a lot of misunderstandings of how it happened, and we're not relying on somebody to draw a diagram only. And by this time, something may have moved, something may have changed, or you didn't know what to observe in a picture, even when you look at it later, you're like, oh, I didn't notice that. You know, so I think that's huge, especially for technology. So years ago, we wouldn't have had that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, it's kind of, you know, if you're a sports fan, but it's sort of when you sit there on TV, you're able to say, oh, I would do that, and this, and that. When you're in the heat of the moment, you know, a lot of factors are going on. It's not as easy to be as clear-headed as you would be. So when you're taking all these pictures, you give yourself the opportunity to at least capture as much as possible. And maybe you don't need them all, but at least you have everything there. And if you don't need it, fine. But if you do, it's available to you. And it helps to, you know, when someone's making a claims decision, that someone in an office could be across the country, they have no connection with you or the area or anything, and they're making a decision on it. And you want to give as much, you want to have as much evidence to back up and support your position. And along with that point of stopping is that we always recommend calling the police. Now, in some areas, we actually had an issue here in Las Vegas for a while. That's changed, but the police for a while were not coming to accidents if there was a non-injury accident.
Okay.
Now, that may seem, well, that makes sense, but what I can tell you, and I'm not a doctor, but I've been doing this over 17 years, in my experience, a lot of people, the injuries from an accident don't show themselves right away. In an accident, you've got a lot of adrenaline going on. You've got a lot of, you know, you're caught up in the moment, and you've got a lot of energy surging through you, so you may not feel a pain or an injury at that time. So if that's the case and you claim not an injury, well, potentially the police, at least here, were not showing up. That has now changed. But, and again, since we're listening to people across or talking to people across the country, it may depend on your jurisdiction, how they handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's always important to call the police. And here's the big part behind that is actually wait for them to show up. Depending on your area, sometimes the police take a really long time.
They do.
You know, they're busy. Yeah.
I've also noticed some signs saying minor, I guess, collisions or minor accidents move them off the road, because what we would typically do in an accident, you don't want to move the car because you don't want to mess up, you know, the perspective of what happened and who's at fault. But we can take pictures, videos, like you said, but then there are signs on the highways that will say move minor accidents, you know, off of the road, because then it keeps the traffic flowing. So that's another thing. So I don't know if that is part of the officers not coming, but they give us a little more power, and you don't, especially if you can move the car, and then you'll have people slowing down, you know, where they're trying to get to because of what has happened with you. So
true. I just want to point out there, though, be careful with that. That's one thing I would point out, is because in an accident,
okay,
the damage is not always apparent to you. It could be a lot of hidden damage, and
mm-hmm.
you want to be careful you're not moving a vehicle that, you know, there may be some internal, it's almost like a body in a way, there could be some internal damage that's not clear to the naked eye, and so when you're moving it, you want to be very careful that you're not dislodging something that maybe has been shaken in the accident that could cause more damage to the vehicle or some kind of malfunction. So be very careful when you're making any kind of move before any police have arrived.
Okay, good. That clarifies, because I wanted to know. I've seen those signs, and I wondered, but I felt like it was empowering. I actually didn't have that opportunity when it happened for myself, but I've seen it on the highways, and just I was curious about that. So excellent. So
yeah,
we are.
Yeah, if you're gonna move it. Yeah, I'm just going to say, if you're going to move it, though, definitely document as much as you can. Take all the pictures first before you move that, and then make sure you put yourself in a safe location. You don't want to be standing, like you said, in the middle of a highway, not wanting to disturb the scene, because you can cause significant collateral damage to other passengers or other motorists.
Okay. Well, this is good so far.
Thank you.
So how many are we up to now? We got five things we should do, but how many
right.
number are we up
so
to now?
I said stop, and I did sort of then the next one we have on our list is be careful what you say. And this is
okay.
important. So after an accident, you know, you have to, you should always obviously check on yourself, check on any of your passengers in your vehicle. And then if you're able to, and a lot of times you're not able to, potentially because either your vehicle is not in a way to get out or you're not feeling good, potentially communicate with the other driver, but that's not always feasible. But be careful when the police come to what you're saying, because you know what they're doing, they're documenting and putting together a report, and they're definitely doing their best. However, you know, on a given day, there could be, they may have reported to 10 accidents, you know, so it's not always, even though it's very personal to you and it's happened to you, it's
mm-hmm.
part of their job. And, you know, they have other accidents to potentially worry about that day. So, you know, be careful what you say. If you're not sure about something, don't just say something because you think it's going to help the situation get resolved quicker. The clients say, yeah, it was no big deal, and then they're coming to me 2 days later, you know, complaining of significant injuries because the adrenaline's worn off. They weren't aware of everything going on, but now there's a police report that says no injury, you know, minor, things like that, and that's difficult. I mean, we overcome that all the time, but it's just one step against you when making a claim with insurance as well, you know. Catherine said she wasn't injured. So what? Look, I'm telling
right.
you what it is here. But so
right.
it's very important to not jump to any conclusions. I know, again, yeah, it's hard to think clearly when you've just been in an accident. You may be, you're heading to an appointment. Now you're late. There's all these other factors going on, and you just want to potentially get out of there. But it's very important that you, as much as you can, keep your wits to at least present yourself and not close any future doors to you for your regarding your accident claim.
Gotcha. As you're talking, I'm thinking about the incident, and the guy, he laughed, but he was like, oh, my neck and my back. And I was like, okay, you know, wow, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Just
mm-hmm.
It was, and it was, he took me for a headache. I tell you, he made a terrible yeah. headache out of mm-hmm. it. And my scenario has nothing to do with the five things to do in your accident, but
no,
just sharing
please,
my story. This guy was a disbarred attorney is what we learned in the mediation, and he wanted to treat it as if it was a court case, like I was
yeah.
on trial. And I was
sure.
going, wow, I apologize. You know, I did not see him, and I was as humble as I thought I could be. And by the time we had this mediation, I was furious. And I was like,
yeah.
it just seemed like a circus. Like, are you serious? And he had a VW, what kind of car? It was a small car. I have a Mitsubishi Mirage, so I have a tiny car. And his car
okay.
was a Rabbit. So he has an older little car. And he, you know, carried on about how his car, you know, is an antique and I damaged it and carried on and on and on. And so the guy who was representing me from the insurance company, he says, well, you had dents on the opposing side of the car that had nothing to do with the accident on your antique. And so, I mean, it was kind of, as I'm looking back on it now, it's funny, but I'll never forget that accident, you know, because he wanted $20,000 for this car.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay.
I was about to have a heart attack, Attorney Blank. I'm so serious. I
yeah.
was like, are you serious? Because I even looked at the blue book value of this car, even if it was in, you know, good condition, and it wasn't near $20,000, and he's carrying on as an antique, and he had a personal injury of high blood pressure. Is that a such thing?
Well, listen, so the guy you're describing kind of gives a lot of this, I don't like hearing about people like that. They bring a bad reputation, that they cast a negative light on what actually happens, you know, when people are in an accident. People do get injured. Yes, they're accidents, and that's why it's called an accident. For the most part, the person wasn't intentionally trying to hit you, but they did, and in so doing, oftentimes have caused damage to a vehicle and damage to the body. And, you know, that's why there's insurance coverage for that. Now this guy sounds like, from what you're saying, a bit of a clown, and, you know, he gives it a bad name. And frankly, you know, he's a disbarred attorney, so he's not even an attorney, but, you know, one of our points in our list, which is actually point number five, is that you should talk to an attorney. And one of the reasons is, you know, if this guy was in my office, right, and we're talking to him, it would not be a claim from what you've told me that I'd be interested in taking. So one of the reasons you talk to an attorney is that you can help sort of sort a lot of this out. You know, this is one of the reasons that it's important talking to an attorney is this is what we do for a living. Obviously not everybody's the same. There's good and bad in every profession. But if you talk to someone who has been doing it for a while, we're able to sort through and talk you through what we believe is potentially available and what kind of case we think you'd have. I don't come to you and say, okay, I'm just going to do this show right now, you know, without any training, without any practice, you know, this is the kind of thing. And as an individual who's never been in an accident, you might be able to figure all of it out, but you might not, and you're going to get run around. Insurance companies are smart. And they're well-funded. You know, they're a multi-billion-dollar industry, and it's not an accident. So, you know, this is why it's important to talk to an attorney who can give you an unbiased opinion and what potentially you could be seeking for what you might be able to go for in an accident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that was a tough space for me to be in.
That's why you have auto insurance. You know, if there is a claim and you did acknowledge that you were at fault, but it doesn't mean that just because you're at fault doesn't necessarily mean the entire floodgates open up either, right? I mean, because you struck another vehicle with your car doesn't mean that all those other things happen, you know. Could high blood pressure result from an accident? There are situations where that could. I would say that's more rare than common. You know, and that's where, you know, when you're in a personal injury situation, you're putting your health into question, right? You're saying, hey, I was injured this way. So in doing so, the other driver does have the opportunity. If it enters into a lawsuit, they're entitled to get your medical history within reason. And that's, again, that depends state to state, but they get that information so they can make an assessment. You know, if you've already had significant high blood pressure, you've been getting ongoing treatment for it, claiming that from an accident would be a hard claim to uphold and pursue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. If have we gone through all five yet? Because I'm like caught up in the conversation and sharing my story. I'm not counting.
No, that's okay. Well, we sort of worked a lot of them in. The one that we left off so far was to get medical treatment. It's important, even if it's just a checkup, and even if you think it was a minor accident, it is important to at least get checked out by some type of physician, whether it's a medical doctor, chiropractor, somebody to at least check you out, because as I mentioned earlier, after an accident you have a lot of adrenaline going, you're very pumped up after an accident, and your injuries unfortunately don't always show themselves that instant. Sometimes it's later that night, sometimes it's the next day, a couple of days later, even a week or so later. They start to show themselves because as you start to try and resume your daily activities, you start noticing limitations or pains that weren't there prior to the accident. And that's very, very, very common after an accident, that these injuries start to show themselves after an accident. Because when your tissues, when you have adrenaline going, your tissues, they swell up.
Yeah.
And then when they start to resume their, they start to reduce size, you start to notice more pains. So it's very important that you get the treatment, at least get checked out. And that's also important in the point of making a claim for compensation for your injuries. You know, insurance companies always love to say, well, look, they didn't claim they were injured. There was a gap in treatment. All those issues come up. So it's important, that at least for your body's well-being and also for any potential claim, that you do seek treatment soon after an accident.
Now, I always have trouble with that. If it takes a little while for me to feel the pain after the, you know, accident, but it seems like we're in a rush to go and assess the pain, and it may be weeks before you feel it. So it's like a catch-22 with that.
You're absolutely correct. That's a great point. That is one of the things that, is sort of a struggle, because we've made that argument. We've made that argument before, and there's each case is different, but I can tell you just in my totality of experience and also in speaking with other plaintiff's attorneys, you know, that's one of the main issues that pops up a lot. If there's that gap in initial treatment, even if it's plausible, that generally doesn't play well either to an insurance company or even to a jury. People often think if you were hurt that bad, you would have already gotten treatment. And so the fact that you waited a week or 10 days or 2 weeks to get treatment, you couldn't have been hurt that bad. No, I don't think the human body works that way. However, I was just going to say, generally, if I'm saying, if I had to pick one side or the other, I think generally the pain's going to fall on the side that if they wait too long, then you really weren't hurt. I don't agree with that.
We need some work on that. We need some work on that one.
I don't agree with that. Exactly. So, but I'm just going to say, in general, that's the way it's generally perceived.
You're right. I want to say thank you. I want us to recap each one because, again, I was telling my story and we were weaving in the five steps. But I want you to go back and recap what the five steps are and then let the This Needs to Be Said audience know how to get in touch with you outside of this conversation, because we know that all conversations will be different, accidents will be different, you know, and this was just a general conversation, and if they want more specifics, they can get in touch with you. So give us the, you know, five steps as a recap, let them know how to get in touch with you, as well as how they can get a copy of your pamphlet.
Absolutely. Okay, so the five steps, thing to do in an accident, when you're in an accident, number one is to stop. Don't leave the scene. Stop, call the police, and let the officer know what happened. Number two, when doing that, be very careful what you say to both the police officer and the other driver or drivers. Also, I should weave this in, be careful what you say. You shouldn't be talking at that point to any insurance companies, giving any statements. You talk to them, just give them the facts, no recorded statements, definitely no recorded statements to the insurance without an attorney present, okay?
Okay.
Number three, take pictures, document everything, the license, the cars, the insurance, the registration, the people in the vehicle, the pictures of the street where it happened, or streets. There's any traffic signals or stop signs, pictures of those as well. So anybody looking at that can get a feel of the accident scene. Number four is to get medical treatment. As we talked about, your adrenaline is high after an accident, so you want to make sure that you do get checked out and your injuries or potential injuries documented so that future care or ongoing care that you receive has at least been noted and acted upon. And the last one is talk to and hire an attorney. This area, and I should point this out, this area, when we practice and we work on a contingency basis, which means we don't get paid unless we recover money for you as a client. So we're not coming in taking any fee. Our fee comes if we're able to recover for you. So with that in mind, we're going to want to take cases that we think we can help you with and recover on, so we don't waste your time, and honestly, we don't waste our time. So that's the benefit. We're kind of working in the same direction, right, because we only get paid if you get paid. Also, hiring the attorney allows you to protect a lot of their rights. The insurance companies are very savvy and they're smart, and you certainly want to make sure that when you're dealing with this that you are not giving up rights that you have because you think that you're being handled fairly by the insurance, because unfortunately oftentimes you're not. So those are the five steps to go over what you should do when you're in an accident.
Okay. How do people get in touch with you to talk about their own situations outside of this interview?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. We have several ways. Number one is we have a phone number. Our phone number is 702-222-2115. It's 702-222-2115. We also have our website, and that website is my name, which is Eric, E-R-I-C, blank, B-L-A-N-K, law.com. So that's ericblanklaw.com. And the pamphlet we just talked about is on our website. You're able to go in there, enter your name right in the middle of the page. There, enter your name there, and we'll send you, or you actually be able to download, my bad, a copy of this pamphlet so you have this information. We also on our website have a way you can just contact us directly with your questions, and we get back to you within the same day to give you, you know, information and to hopefully consult with you. All our consults are free so that you can at least know, do you have a case?
Okay. Awesome. I want to say thank you so much for being a part of the conversation on today, and much success.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a pleasure being here.
Awesome. Bye now.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.